continue working so I could support, you know, myself and my son. But basically, I'm very thankful to Jagadish Maharaj at the time that was so kind to accept my child in the Gurukul. The local devotees said that he could not go to Gurukul because I was not initiated. I was not a devotee. I was just, you know, coming to the temple to visit. But Jagadish Maharaj said no. He should go to Gurukul, just with the same thinking that Srila Prabhupada would have done it. So I'm very thankful to him, because now I have two wonderful grandchildren also that hopefully they will go, they become preachers or something one day. Then I'm thankful to so many other devotees that I have come in touch with. But I am here today because I really wanted to share something with you, which is something that Mukhya Prabhu gave me, which is Radha Samasundar sand from Vrindavan, so I'll pass it around. But the other thing that I have today to share that is also relevant for Prabhupada's disappearance is a little bit of bark from the tree that he sat down under in New York at Tompkins Square Park. So you all can share it, and then I can tell you something. And the sand you can take, either you put it in your mouth or you put it in your head, and take as much as you want. So there are three stories. The first one is from New York. We were celebrating an anniversary of Srila Prabhupada coming, so we went to the park, and we were waiting for the devotees to come, but there was a confusion because so many of them were in Second Avenue, and we were waiting for them at the park, so there were not so many there and so many here because they were split, right? But we kept chanting, and there was one drunk guy that kept coming around and covering his ears as he went by the kirtan party. So one time he came, and the second time came also, and the third time he came and said, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare." He repeated the whole mantra. He said, "I've been going around and I can't get rid of this sound. It just goes inside my head." So, you know, even by default, or even by, you know, causeless mercy, but people are getting the mercy from Srila Prabhupada through all these years. Another story is that I was in Sadhu Sangha sitting and listening to all the Prabhupada disciples doing such a great performance of chanting and singing, you know, for the devotees to relish the holy name and also for new people. And there was one lady sitting next to me. I didn't know her. I didn't talk to her. I wasn't sure. And all of a sudden, she had tears in her eyes. And I was not sure if I should approach her or not. But then she turned to me and she said, "Excuse me, can I tell you something?" I said, "Yes, please." She says, "I see you all chanting so nicely, and I don't see you crying. But me, I am hearing, and all this emotion is coming out, and I feel like crying, and I feel like surrendering, and I feel it." And this Sadhu Sangha place that we went to, I don't know if some of you already know about this place, but it's a very huge place where devotees go and do meditation, not just devotees from ISKCON. This is a very beautiful facility for anybody that wants to use it for any kind of meditation or, you know, spiritual event. So I said, to this lady, "Okay," I say, "how long you've been practicing? How long you've been chanting?" And she said, "It's my first time today." I said, "Yeah, welcome to Srila Prabhupada's movement." I've been keeping in touch with him now. She's reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and now she's on the path of Krishna consciousness, and now she's understanding more. But the first emotion was there when you just awakened, you know, and you're listening and getting all this purification coming to your heart. So it was very nice. And the other thing I want to share is that Prabhupada had touched so many people and so many souls that we can't even get to know where this is going. One thing is that right now there is a person that was very close to, or is close actually, but he was a part of the cabinet for Clinton, Bill Clinton, and he knows Hillary, and you know, he's in touch with them, that wants to come to this community because he had been diagnosed with a terminal illness, and somehow or other devotees got me in touch with him, so I went to interview to see if I could take care of him. He liked me and everything, but at the time he had someone else. But the point now is that he doesn't want only one devotee to take care of him. Now he had come to the realization that he has to be among devotees, that he has to be near a place where he can practice sadhana and leave his body in association with devotees. And of course you know that Bill Clinton is vegan now. So that's a good start. So that is my relationship with Prabhupada. Every step I do, I see how he is connecting us and connecting me, although we're not qualified, and although so many people come out of curiosity or desire just to enjoy the kirtan or whatever, but Prabhupada is somehow changing the world, like Darshan Krishna said. So I'm very grateful, and I'm very, very grateful to all of you also for listening. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada.
I'd like to thank Ranjit for inviting me to speak. I was coming to the festival here, and I was thinking, oh, it was so nice, I'd be able to sit in the audience and listen to our senior God brothers and God sisters and so many devotees glorify Srila Prabhupada, and I'd be able to enjoy everything. But now Ranjit asked me to speak, so I'm feeling a little bit stressed out, but forgive me if I stumble up, don't speak properly. Thank you. One reason I'm extremely happy to be here, to be with the devotees, is that I am, after many, many years, being reunited with a very close God brother of mine, Kalipani Prabhu, who actually we were together during Sankirtan, traveling in England, back in the north, when we got the news that Aguru Maharaj had left the planet. And I remember when we would travel away from Bhaktivedanta Manor, and we'd go for a week at a time, going to different towns around the country, and it was our time to go further up north. And we had known that Srila Prabhupada was very ill, and we just had the very good fortune of being with Srila Prabhupada just before he went back to India to display his pastimes of leaving the planet. But we had, so every, we would only call in every few days with the results, how many books were distributed, how much lakshmi was collected. So Kalipani Prabhu, he was the Sankirtan leader, and he had gone to call in from a pay phone. We didn't have cell phones or anything like that. He'd gone to call in, and then he came back, and his face was white, and I was thinking, oh gosh, what's happened? And he probably told us that Guru Maharaj had left the planet. just, there's three other boys. I think there's four of us all together in the band, and we were all shocked and didn't know what to do or say. And there's some tears here. And so we decided that, telephonically, we decided that we had to, that the order was that all the traveling parties, everybody would head back to the manor, and so we could all join together in remembering and glorifying Srila Prabhupada. And so today is a very, very happy occasion for me. I hadn't seen Prabhu for such a long time. I'm very happy to see him here and with the devotees here. So I want to start with that. So this will just be some anecdotes from the British Yatra of my times and some association with Srila Prabhupada that I had. And I wanted to just say, talk about Srila Prabhupada's personal touch. This is Srila Prabhupada's personal exchanges, the very few that I had or I thought that I had. And the very, one of the earlier ones is, I think in 1976, I was very young, I was in high school, and I was going to the temple at Bhaktivinoda Manor, wanted to be with the devotees. And I wanted to join, but my mother was very adamant that I couldn't join. I was 17 at the time, and 17, I think, yes. And so she was very adamant, so I was thinking, how can I join the devotees? How can I move into the temple? What can I do to convince my mother that she should let me go? And as some of you know, that in India, the relationship between mothers and sons and children is very deep and sentimental and very strong. So my mother was like saying, oh, if you leave, if you give up your schooling and this and that, you know, I'll be very upset. I'll probably drop dead or something like that. So she's threatening like that. So I was in a quandary, and I was thinking, what can I do? Somehow or other, I've got to get my mother's permission somehow or other to let me go. So fortunately, Srila Prabhupada was coming to visit London. And this is in 76, visit to London in 76. So I thought, okay, what I'll do is I'll take my mother to meet Srila Prabhupada. And once she sees that Srila Prabhupada is such a wonderful saintly personality, a great spiritual leader, then when she sees that, she will like, okay, well, then this is for a good cause, so to speak. So I took my mother down, and I brought her down to the temple. At that time, Srila Prabhupada was not well. I think he was nursing a cold in 76. He was nursing a cold. So the devotees were saying, nobody should touch Srila Prabhupada's feet. Nobody should touch Srila Prabhupada's feet. He's not well, and it's not proper that people should touch his feet. So I thought, well, we're not going to touch his lotus feet today. And I told my mother, when you see Srila Prabhupada, don't do anything silly like touching his lotus feet because he's not well. And so my mother said, yeah, no problem. So Srila Prabhupada came down the stairs, the long hallway. Some of you may have seen pictures of Bhaktivinoda Manor coming down the stairs. And then he came through the doors, and he was just going to go out to the gardens. And I was standing there. My mother was standing next to me. And Srila Prabhupada came just past, and everybody's with him. And then before I know it, my mother's on the floor in front of Srila Prabhupada, grasping his lotus feet. And I'm like, I don't know where to put myself. I'm like, you know, everyone's looking at me. And then Srila Prabhupada's there, and Srila Prabhupada's looking at me. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Prabhupada, you know, all these thoughts are going in my mind. And then it seemed a long time, my mother wouldn't get up. So Prabhupada's standing there, and everybody's standing, you know, Prabhupada's on his way out. And eventually my mother gets up, and Prabhupada looks at me, and looks at my mother, and carries on. And after that touch of my mother's hand, her fear, or her feelings of, you know, concern or attachment to me seemed to kind of somewhat abate. And she said, yes, I can see why you're interested. He's a great spiritual master. He's a great personality. So she could sense that. And ever since that was like some personal help that Prabhupada gave me to become a part of his mission, a part of his movement. So I always remember that touch that Srila Prabhupada could give out, whether you saw him or you actually got a chance to touch his lotus body, lotus feet like that. So when Srila Prabhupada came, I think Toshan was talking how Prabhupada left. Was it Prabhupada, was it Bombay that he left, or when he wanted to go to New York? Did Prabhupada, when he was he in Bombay then, when he said, I want to go to New York too? In Vrindavan, yes. Last days in Vrindavan, yes. So, somehow or other, this is in 1977, so we got the news that Srila Prabhupada was coming to England on his way to New York, and he was going to go to Gita Nagari and do a world tour. But his health was bad, precarious, but I personally didn't know how bad it was. So when Srila Prabhupada came, we were all shocked to see when he was taken out of the car that he was just practically, his body was emaciated, and some parts of his knees and his feet were swollen like that, in a very delicate situation. So we were all aghast to see our Guru Maharaj so in a delicate situation, very, very delicate condition. But given all that, given his physical situation, Srila Prabhupada radiated the strength of purpose. And at the time, I didn't think too much of it, but I was thinking, now I think how Srila Prabhupada had once again come to the West. It was like his final tour, unknown to us. This would be his final tour to travel the Western worlds. He had come so many years ago to start the mission, and now he was coming. It was going to be his last final tour to come and preach and to fulfill the mission of Mahaprabhu, satisfy his Guru Maharaj's desire. And even in a broken condition, he was coming. So when we took him, he had a special chair made for him. And that maybe Kalipani Prabhu will know. He had a special chair, like a palanquin made, because Prabhupada couldn't walk at the time. So anyway, when we first came from the airport, Prabhupada sat down in his rooms at Vaikuntha Manor, and all the devotees, we all pushed in, rushed in, and we were there intently listening to what Srila Prabhupada is going to say. And Prabhupada was very weak. He'd just come all the way from India. And I remember these words, and Prabhupada spoke very few words during that time he was there because of his ill health. And Prabhupada said, he looked out around the room, and he saw the newer devotees, the older devotees, his old stalwarts from the British Yatra. And Prabhupada said, looking at everybody very intently, he said, is everyone happy? So Prabhupada said. So I was like, Guru Maharaj has come, and his health is weak, and he's making this big sacrifice to come in a very broken condition. And his only concern is everybody happy? And that's the type of, what I would say, that personal touch Srila Prabhupada could give everybody to bring them into the service of Krishna, into the service of the Vaishnavas. And then, so Srila Prabhupada would really come down because he was so unwell, but he would come down for Guru Puja, greeting the deities. And these were very ecstatic days. Very ecstatic days. So all the devotees were completely blissful, even though in our hearts we were feeling pain to see Prabhupada in such a apparently bad physical situation. But and then we'd have these wonderful Guru Pujas for him, and Prabhupada would reciprocate. And I think there's some lights, but there are a lot of lights that would come on, glaring lights. I think Harikesh Prabhu, he'd gotten these sunglasses, Srila Prabhupada, big sunglasses. And you've seen these pictures of Prabhupada where these sunglasses would come down and see. And it's like Srila Prabhupada was like space age Swami, you know, so beautiful. And even though he was such in poor health, he would tap along or clap his fingers gently as the kirtans would go on, and he would smile. And one time I was in the further back, just looking at Prabhupada, smiling, and then Prabhupada looked towards what I thought was my direction, and he was smiling. I thought, oh, gosh, sure, Prabhupada should give me some mercy here. But then I looked to the right, and there was a very senior devotee of the British Yatra, Kulashekhar Prabhu. Some of you may know him. I think he was here for a while. He's passed on now. And he was dancing, beautiful dancing, beautiful dancing. And Prabhupada was looking at him and smiling. And those in the British Yatra know that Kulashekhar was very close to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada loved him very much, and had a very intimate relationship. And he was smiling, and Prabhupada, and I looked at Kula. Kula was smiling, big smile, and looked at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was smiling, big smile. And this was going on, this personal touch Prabhupada was giving. So I felt, okay, well, Prabhupada's not smiling at me, but I'm getting his glance while he's looking at this other devotee. So I got some secondhand mercy there, and I felt very, very ecstatic to see that. And there was a certain presence. It was like when Srila Prabhupada, the great general, had come out again, one final tour. Because sometimes you hear how, you know, these famous warrior generals, they like to go and do the final tour, and it's very glorious. And the atmosphere at the temple was that Srila Prabhupada, at that time we were not thinking it's the final tour. We could not conceive that Srila Prabhupada would be gone. It was inconceivable. And we knew Prabhupada was not well, but it was inconceivable that Prabhupada would leave. Krishna Prabhu was alluding to that even to the last moment we just couldn't accept that. But in retrospect, looking back, so Srila Prabhupada made this effort to make one last tour. And it's like a conquering general coming out to do the one grand tour of the battlefield, so to speak. So Srila Prabhupada's field of activity was the Western world, that his Guru Maharaj had told him to go and do this. So he'd come out one last time. And when we would have these Guru Pujas, and we would chant and dance, and I really got the sense that at this point, there were not just us devotees in that temple room. There were a host of other personalities. The sense was, in my mind, was palpable, that so many other people are here. So many demigods, so many other personalities come to see Prabhupada on his last tour of the Western world. And there's a few of the devotees, they kind of also said, oh, there's something very special here, there's something overwhelming here. When I go reflect on this, and I'm thinking, yes, this was proper. That when Srila Prabhupada came out for the last time, so many personalities, spiritual personalities, would come and be with him and partake of this wonderful final leela of Srila Prabhupada coming to the West to preach. And Srila Prabhupada's idea was that he wanted to go from there to New York, and the devotees were waiting in New York, devotees were waiting in Gita Nagari, so many devotees were waiting. So Srila Prabhupada was making this effort, valiant effort, but then he became very ill. He became so ill that in the middle of the night he was taken to Watford General Hospital for a minor surgery. And when he came back, Prabhupada said, I need to go back to Vrindavan. At last tomorrow, Krishna Maharaj, Hare Krishna, Prabhu was there, and some of the devotees were there, and I think he said, please take me back, because I think this is the time for me to leave. So Prabhupada had made that last effort to come out, but then he felt that this was going to be, he had to go back. And I was thinking, yes, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had always said he would send his preachers to Europe, to London, to Germany. But when Srila Prabhupada started his mission, he went to New York and started everything there. But in his mind, he also knew that Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Srila Prabhupada wanted preaching in London. So on his last Western tour, Prabhupada came as far as London and preached in London. And then gave mercy to so many devotees. And And when Prabhupada would, so he was in a very, very weakened state, but his power, his presence was just overpowering. It was inconceivable that somebody in such poor health could exude so much power, so much love, so much compassion. And so he had a palanquin made for him. He would come down the stairs, and some of the stronger brahmacharis, they got the service to bring Prabhupada down. And I think Kalipani Prabhu, did you also bring Prabhupada? Amitra and Gokula and that. And I was thinking, oh, why did Krishna give me such a skinny, weak body? I would have loved to have done that service to lift Prabhupada. And I was just, you know, to get out of the way, you know, bring the big boys to bring Prabhupada down. So when Prabhupada would come down with the ecstatic kirtan, greet the deities, a lot of Gokulananda, and then Prabhupada would go and sit, and then we'd take Prabhupada up the stairs. And as Prabhupada was going up, there'd be ecstatic kirtan, people just going crazy, jumping up and down. And sometimes as Prabhupada would go up the steps, there's a landing there, they would have to turn the chair and go up the final part of the landing. And sometimes they would hold Prabhupada there for a moment, and Prabhupada would look down, and sometimes he would go like this, just lift his arms up like that, and the devotees would just go crazy. You know, just seeing Prabhupada's last glimpse, he would go around the corner to his rooms. So those were very ecstatic days, and they were mingled with sadness. And especially when Srila Prabhupada, it was known that he was going back, and things were very, very, getting very precarious. So we were very, very saddened by that. But we felt very fortunate that the Rishi Yatra, the devotees and the Yatra, that Prabhupada came, and we were actually able to celebrate Srila Prabhupada's last Vyasa Puja. And in the West, in the world, Srila Prabhupada was with the British Yatra in London on his very last Vyasa Puja, and we got to hear about Srila Prabhupada's exploits to Mal Krishna Maharaj at the time, in synopsis on that day, gave the lecture about Srila Prabhupada's life story. And sometimes if Tamal Krishna Maharaj forgot some detail, Srila Prabhupada would gently say what it was, you know, preaching in a garage, Prabhupada, you know, when they started, and things like that, you know, and so many things. So we were very fortunate to see Srila Prabhupada, and I always remember, I mean, so many devotees are here, senior devotees, godfathers, god sisters, who had wonderful long-term association with Prabhupada from the early days. And so I'm so thankful that I got some association, even though, albeit in the last days. But I remember and relish those days. And my memories of Prabhupada are one of, you know, obviously great respect and thankfulness that he allowed me to join his mission, to be able to have some use to preaching and book distribution. And so I'd like to thank Srila Prabhupada very much for allowing me to be with the devotees and being part of his mission. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.
And then Leela Nanda Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada's always said that credit should go where credit is due, so I just wanted to fine-tune something from that the last story when Prabhupada was in England and he had the sunglasses, and they were not... he said that Hari Kesh got him some sunglasses, but actually they were bought by our god sister, Shruti Rupa. Shruti and Avirama Prabhu was helping take care of Prabhupada, and so they were there in the car when Srila Prabhupada was ill, and he was lying down in the car in the back, and Shruti Rupa was meditating on his lotus face, and she knew the exact size of sunglasses to get that would fit perfectly. Prabhupada needed them because any light was hurting his eyes, giving him a headache. You know, he was so ill, so I just had to fine-tune that. In 1976, for Rath Yatra, down Fifth Avenue, Miami Temple sent 8 of us Sankirtan devotees, Krishna's mercy, And Prabhupada didn't start at the beginning of the Rath Yatra. So he wasn't there. He was going to come later. So there were the three chariots. And I thought, oh, I'm going to dance in front of Subhadra Devi's chariot. And I mean, thousands of devotees, glorious, you know, down Fifth Avenue. What Prabhupada, of course, stated, you know, the most important street in the most important city in the most important country at that time, you know. So we were dancing in front of Subhadra's chariot, and all of a sudden I looked down the side street and I saw Srila Prabhupada coming. So, wow, everybody was in more ecstasy even. And Prabhupada got up on Subhadra Devi's chariot for the remainder of the Rath. So it was sublime. Your soul is in ecstasy, you know. When Prabhupada had arrived in New York, it was a day or two before, they have like a long Manhattan temple, kind of a long entry hall, and devotees lined up on both sides, you know, hundreds of devotees lined up along the side so Prabhupada could pass through. And our god sister, Prafula Mukhi, who used to live here, had her son about 18 months old. And when Prabhupada walked by them, all of a sudden the son rushed out, grabbed Prabhupada around the ankles, and wouldn't let go. He just was embracing Prabhupada's lotus feet. And Prafula Mukhi later told me, I felt like I committed a huge offense against Prabhupada by letting my son do that, you know. I mean, she didn't know he was going to do it, but she said, I felt so offensive for doing that, you know. And Prabhupada, of course, had a few sannyasis around him, and they were kind of not pleased that this child had impeded Prabhupada from walking, because Prabhupada couldn't move. And so they started to kind of take their dandas and nudge him a little bit. And Prabhupada stopped them. And he said, no, don't do that. He is a great soul. And I was telling this story to our godbrother and godsister who live at the manor, Kishore and Sri Kama. And Kishore was telling me, oh yes, we had something similar. These devotees are from Scotland, and Kishore was telling me, Prabhupada went to Scotland only one time, and he went for 2 or 3 days, and he went to both Edinburgh and Glasgow. And so they were at a program in a part of town that was a little rough part of town, but there was a hall there, so Prabhupada was speaking in the hall. And some of the street kids had come in, you know, like kind of like street urchins. It means they're a little rough around the edges, a little scruffy looking, maybe a little dirty, you know, the kids. But they got into it, and they went on stage and were chanting with the devotees, chanting Hare Krishna. And some of the devotees started to get them out of there, you know. Oh, let's get these kids out of here. They don't look good, you know. And they started to move them, and Prabhupada stopped them, and he said, no, leave them. They are devotees. So Prabhupada, so lovingly encouraging everybody, always fanning the spark of Krishna consciousness. And I was thinking that you know, there's innumerable ways we can remember Srila Prabhupada, and we can be reminded of Prabhupada. And one of the best ways, or one of the very nice ways, is going to some of his quarters around the world. At different temples, there are Srila Prabhupada's quarters. And I remember the very first day and the very first time that I ever went to India. It was 1976, and again, they had sent the Sankirtan devotees. So somehow, mystically, it seemed, that very first day that we arrived in Mayapur, Sukada and I got to go sit in darshan with Srila Prabhupada. And there were only three ladies there. There was myself, Sukada, and Pishima, Srila Prabhupada's sister. And we were there for about 45 minutes, and Prabhupada was speaking Bengali the whole time. And we were just totally, I mean, in ecstasy, just being in the Vapu of Srila Prabhupada. You can imagine, it was just like totally fulfilled our heart's desire. And then I'm coincidentally at the end of that, towards the end of that darshan, Vishnu Jan Maharaj came in, and this was actually, we realized later, this was the day before he had disappeared. So he came in, went up to Srila Prabhupada, and talked to him for about 5 minutes. And we were, he was right next to Prabhupada's ear, you know, on the ground, right? So we couldn't hear what he said. We were about 10 feet away from Prabhupada. But then after that, nobody ever saw him again. Also, Prabhupada's quarters in Vrindavan. The glorious Prabhupada's quarters. This is where Prabhupada, 37 years ago, this is where he left his physical body and went into the spiritual world, you know, in his quarters in Vrindavan. And again, by Krishna's mercy, I was able to get Gayatri Mantra from Prabhupada that year in his quarters, right there in his quarters. And some years later, in 89 and 90, I was living in Vrindavan and helping take care of his quarters. And from there, I was sent to Bombay, to Juhu Temple, and to take care of his kitchen in his quarters. And if anybody's been to Hare Krishna land at Juhu, Prabhupada's quarters are magnificent. He's got, there are two twin towers, five-story towers of the guest house, but on one of them, the whole entire top floor is Prabhupada's quarters, and the towers are round, and they have balconies all around. So Prabhupada's quarters has six balconies, all marble floors. I mean, just stunning. And Prabhupada also said, this is my best quarter. This is the best place for me in the world, my best quarters. And even today, we make, Prabhupada has, there's a breakfast offering for Prabhupada. We get a big tully, cut up at least six different kinds of fruit, make fresh paneer every day, and don't cook it or anything, just cut it up into squares and put salt and pepper on it, like that. And make him an offering of sandesh to put out. We put it out at about 4 o'clock, but it's for Prabhupada at midnight when he translates on his translation desk in the quarters. A little tiffin with three pieces of sandesh we put there every single day. And our god sister Vishvadevi was just telling me a few months ago that because she lived in Bombay at that time and haven't lived there for many years, so she was in the quarters recently and noticed that because the quarters have the rugs have been there, they're full of Persian carpets, and some of them were starting to get a little threadbare because they'd been there since 77 when Prabhupada was there in his physical manifestation. And so she went to Giriraj Swami, who happened to be visiting, and explained to him. So he said, all right, because Giriraj is considered the official or unofficial kind of authority of Prabhupada's quarters there. So he gave her a big box of keys, and he said, okay, I want you to go around and curate the place, be a curator. You know, they went around with it. So they went with a notebook. Her daughter, who's living there now, is Krishnambar. So it was her, Krishnambar, and our godbrother, Narottama Nanda. So they went around and writing, because there's so many unique things in that, in his quarters there, wonderful things. And when they got to the bedroom, built into the wall, there's some wooden cabinets. And they didn't even know this, but they opened one place, and there was a strong box, you know, a safe built into the wall. And they noticed that you need a key on the left and you need a key on the right. So she went through the whole box, and they found some keys. And she said, and the one on the right, the one on the left turned, and the one on the right turned. And inside they found a few gold coins from the 1880s. They found a coin that the mayor of Bombay had presented to Prabhupada. And they found Srila Prabhupada's will from before he started ISKCON. So possibly nobody had opened this since Prabhupada put the things there. So Prabhupada is so merciful. So Prabhupada's quarters all around the world are wonderful places to remember Prabhupada, but even on a daily basis, I find the most awesome way to remember Prabhupada is associating with Prabhupada's followers. Once they asked Prabhupada, how many followers do you have? And Prabhupada answered, 10,000 dedicated followers and many millions of admirers. So just associating with the devotees who are remembering Prabhupada is like the greatest blessing in my life. Hare Krishna.
Ananda Prabhu, and then Mother Hari Puja after Ananda. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki. I just want to add something to what Mother Sukada said. It reminded me of a class that Hadisori Prabhu gave here in Alatra in May 19 this year, when she was referring how the Hare Krishna movement is, our philosophy and values are influencing the world. Hadisori said on that class that once Rameshwar brought a mainstream magazine with an article about an increased interest in religiosity. He asked Prabhupada if this was due to the influence of the Hare Krishna movement, and Prabhupada said yes. Even on those days, that was long ago. So talking about serving is separation, I told this story here before, but that's my life story. I only served Prabhupada in separation. I never had a chance to meet Srila Prabhupada, although I was initiated by him. I joined the temple in mid-1976. I was initiated at the end of 1976, and Prabhupada wrote the letter from the Bombay headquarters, from his office, in Bombay office. And we, on those days, we didn't have Facebook or internet or, cell phones. Communication was difficult. So the communication came to Brazil only by word of mouth. We didn't have many books either. We had Bhagavad Gita, Beyond Birth and Death, and Shushopanishad, and Easy Journey to Other Planets. These are the books we had. So whatever came to Brazil was word of mouth. Telephone calls, especially international phone calls, were very expensive. And every time the GBC came to the temple, everybody was afraid that the phone bill would go up. The GBC would make international calls. So there was no way to get news. And after spending some time doing Sankirtan in the marathon of 1976 at the main temple in São Paulo, I moved to the farm all the way in the mountains in Rio, where there was no electricity, no telephone, so it was even harder to get any news. And I was the Sankirtan devotee of the farm, and I used to collect money for the farm selling books. And it was like a 45-minute walk to the bus stop, and then another 45 minutes by bus to the nearby city, and hour and a half by bus to Rio, where I would go and do Sankirtan. So we heard that Prabhupada was ill and was about to leave the planet, but no, we didn't know when and what was happening. So I was doing book distribution in a bus. Now we used to enter the bus and put a book on the lap of everyone and then go to the front of the bus and say, I'm a student of Eastern philosophy and I'm distributing these books, please take one. And while I'm putting books on their laps, I see a man reading a newspaper. And on the cover of the newspaper, there is a picture of Prabhupada. Yeah. And was I still remember that picture. It's like an orange Vyasa-san. If I see the picture again, I could recognize. And I was wondering what Prabhupada is doing on the front cover of this newspaper. I thought something is happening. So when I got off the bus, I thought, no, when I get off, I'm going to buy this newspaper. But there was no need to buy the newspaper. There was one on the floor, on the sidewalk, with Prabhupada's picture staring at me. So I picked up the newspaper. And in some countries, they just throw garbage everywhere. And that's one of them. So I picked up it and I read, and it said, the master of the Hare Krishna movement. Now, these were the words, how they presented. He died in India yesterday, and he is going to be cremated today. Now, I had heard that the spiritual master is not cremated. I had joined in mid-1976. Now it was about September 1977. And it was a little over a year that I had joined. But I was the senior man at the farm because the temple president was traveling. So I was responsible for the farm. So I had to go back and tell everybody. So it was a kind of a strange situation because, first of all, we didn't know what to do. Everybody was asking me who is going to initiate, who is going to do this and that, and I had no answers. And I only said, well, I think the best thing to do is all we sit together and we chant Hare Krishna. And then we were chanting Hare Krishna. But my connection with Prabhupada, I think this is the most important thing. Although I never met him, I always felt completely connected. And I joined the temple was because of Prabhupada. It wasn't because of anything else. I read the Shishupanishad the first day when I bought the Shishupanishad. I read it and I was trying to find, I was talking to Bhakta Josh actually 2 Sundays ago. He also bought the Shishupanishad. Actually, he didn't buy. Somebody bought and was making fun of the Shishupanishad, and he started defending the Shishupanishad without even knowing it. And then he ended up reading the book. So I was trying to find faults in the book, but Prabhupada was defeating all my arguments completely. And I developed some faith. I said, wow, this man really knows it. He's a wise man. And when I went to the temple, I wanted to know more about Prabhupada. They didn't have much to explain or to say, but they told me that Prabhupada came alone from India and he had no money and he came to New York and he started this movement. So this much they knew about Prabhupada. They didn't know a whole lot more besides the books and preaching all over the world, but about Prabhupada as a person, they didn't know much. But when I read this, or when I heard this, I thought, well, I like him. I want to help him. And I felt that I want to help this man. I want to do something for him. And that was my impetus to join the temple and to serve Prabhupada. And after that was always the impetus that I want to help him. I want to help his mission. I trust him. I believe him. So regardless if we had association with Prabhupada or if we didn't have association with Prabhupada, we all have a connection. Whoever joins today, they don't have less of a connection with Prabhupada. Prabhupada is our eternal master, the founder, Acharya of ISKCON. We see that when Prabhupada writes his letters, or when he wrote his letters to important people, he always introduced himself, like, let me introduce myself as the founder, Acharya of ISKCON. Sometimes people make a big thing about diksha. Oh, you were initiated by Prabhupada or the other one is not. But no, It would be hard for you to find the letter when Prabhupada said, let me introduce myself as the Diksha Guru of ISKCON. And he never introduced himself like this. We're all under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. We're all under his protection. And whoever comes now, 1,000 years from now, he can have the same relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Puja. And then after that, Kalya Pani Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. O Srila Prabhupada, please hear my plea. When I feel your presence, I become overwhelmed in ecstasy. Even though I desire to stay fixed in your company, I often lose sight of you. Please help me remember you. Sometimes you take me with you as one of your followers, but sometimes you treat me roughly. I pray I will always understand that you alone are my guide, with my best interest in mind. By the ecstatic bestowal of your audience, you give me great happiness, and you speak loving words to me. But then, again, I feel your absence, and I am distressed. Whatever your happiness is, and whatever you choose to be done, I pray I can accept that. In meeting or in separation, you are my Savior and the only bestower of devotional service to this soul. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Kalyapani Prabhu and then the Tulsi Priya.
It's hard to go through a proper disappearance day without going back to that moment when one heard that Srila Prabhupada left the planet. And when I saw Ankota Prabhu yesterday, I was unavoidably drawn back to that moment. He related how I heard on the phone that Srila Prabhupada had left the planet. And I went to the Sankirtan van. There was a curtain separating the front from the back. So I was in the front. Everyone else was in the back, counting the collection for the day. And without opening the curtain, I I said, there's news from India. Srila Prabhupada has left the planet. And the chinking of the coins stopped. The talking stopped, and there was this complete stony silence, which I never forget. And then I think it was Ankota Prabhu who started to sob quietly. And it didn't really hit me till we got back to the temple. we're faced with this thing, Srila Prabhupada has left the planet. What does that mean? Is it all over? Of course, it's only just beginning, because Srila Prabhupada becomes even more present in his order. And another thing that's always on my mind on Prabhupada's disappearance or appearance is, what an incredible thing it is that Srila Prabhupada did, coming alone with completely helpless. Not that personally he was helpless, but he was without help. And
and in such a short time doing such an incredible thing. It just defies logic and defies everything. And it was said before how Srila Prabhupada practically took on the intelligence of the world, the world view. He took on the whole world and changed it with truth. He took on the illusory concepts that are governing everybody on this world, and changed that concept to the truth. And it brings to mind, of course you can't compare, but it brings to mind Shankaracharya, who, he didn't live very long, he only lived about the same time as Jesus Christ, early 30s. But in that short time, just with nothing, he walked all over India and drove out Buddhism from India. And of course Jesus Christ did something phenomenal as well. And in one sense, what Srila Prabhupada did is like that, but in another sense it cannot be compared, because Srila Prabhupada, he didn't just move around the material nature, he didn't just make a shift in the material nature or introduce some temporary religious principles. He brought the eternal, the Sadharma Sanstapako. He established the eternal religious principles for all humanity with nothing. And the basis we understand is his relationship with his spiritual master, and that cannot be measured. It was all on the basis of the faith that he had and the relationship that he had with his spiritual master. That's inconceivable, because such, you can understand a Vaishnava by how many Vaishnavas he's made. And just see, Srila Prabhupada is responsible for all the Vaishnavas in the world today. So you judge a tree by its fruits. And so I always remember that, the incredible sacrifice and the earnest endeavor that Srila Prabhupada made when he came alone, and how he knew where to stay. You know, he's surrounded by all these raggedy, bearded, smelly, sometimes people. But he knew to stay there, and he didn't think, I need richer people, I need disciples who have some clout, you know, some influence in society. He didn't have much time, but he stayed and kept watering the seeds there, and of course it was the right place to water. And so I wanted to relate briefly what happened to me in the summer. I got some inspiration and a little mercy, it appears, by being thrown into a situation where I was forced to preach. Basically, I ran away from the Florida heat, went north, ended up in the Toronto Rathiatra in Canada. There I met my god brother Gaura Prabhu, and we were put by Krishna's arrangement in a room together, and he said, well, what are you doing this summer? I said, I'm open to suggestions. So he said, let's go preach. So we spent 3 months going around Ontario, basically, in all kinds of situations, very spontaneous. Yoga clubs, all the temples in eastern Canada, universities, a beauty salon. And all variety of situations, people's homes, and we were visiting estranged devotees. And it was really like it was a fantastic experience. And I realized that it's necessary, that there's a great crying need for people to go out and meet people. And I'm thinking, you know, in retirement, what is one going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to just arrange my comfort and look after my health and, you know, do some nominal preaching? Or am I going to follow in the footsteps of my founder, Acharya, and make some sacrifice to bring people to Krishna consciousness? It was, you know, I don't know if it's just Canada, I don't think so. But it was like a dry sponge, which you just immediately absorb, you know, any information, any Krishna conscious information that came up. We went to McGill University and Guelph University and sat down on the lawn, put out books, did just the two of us. He's a musician, so we prepared some kind of more musical pieces, mantras, and we would chant. And when someone came, then we would speak to them. And within 2 or 3 days of doing that, we had about 35 email addresses of people, of really good people. I mean, really, I was every one of them, practically. I was thinking, this person is really exceptional. If we cultivate this person, he or she is definitely going to take up the chanting and become a devotee. No. So we got the list of names for a Bhakti Yoga Club just like that. Had people coming out and say, I'll be the president, and then telling us what to do. What you need is 4 executives, and can you come back on this date? And on and on like this. It was, and I was thinking, I'm just a fallen, insincere nonsense, but I just tried to repeat something that Prabhupada said to me, that Prabhupada has taught me. And seeing the profound effect that it has on people. You know, intellectual types who are studying philosophy, and they come with all their arguments, and then they're confronted with Prabhupada's arguments and presentation, and seeing them, just seeing the speculator in them, just quieting down and starting to listen and think, and seeing a change of mind and heart taking place in them when they come in contact with Prabhupada through his words, and start thinking that this is something serious. This philosophy is real. So it was a very, very inspiring experience. And I'm thinking now, Kalyavani, you have got to push yourself. No more procrastination, and no more thinking that not qualified, or because, you know, whatever platform I'm on, there's people who have just been totally duped by society, by mainstream society, the education system, the scientists, the teachers, the religions, so-called, who know nothing about spirit whatsoever. Who just, you go and knock on their doors, and they're just completely lost in the mode of ignorance. They know nothing, and a little touch with whatever I can repeat, the holy name, give them prasadam, give them a book, speak the philosophy, just become their friend. This is sad-dharma. Srila Prabhupada introduced sad-dharma for everyone. The real religion for this age. And any little contact that people have, it has such a profound effect. So I'm just remembering today Srila Prabhupada's sacrifice and gift. Srila Prabhupada ki.